Our presentation today is by two of our members, and it's called An Expression of Reconciliation. We don't have bios, but I think everybody knows them pretty well. It's Joanne and Jane Knox will present today. So ladies, you're on.
I'm going to give Wayne a bit of quick direction here, instruction, whatever you want to call it. If it's for the computer here, you can see down at the bottom, there's a little arrow that shows up if you move there. So I'll just get you to move that along. It would help if I had my speech. Okay. All right. So, on March 30th, 2014, the Canadian Unitarian Council and the Unitarian Universalist Ministers of Canada presented an expression of reconciliation to the final event of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Edmonton, Alberta. The expression was put together by Gary Groot, the past president now of the board of directors, and Reverend Meg Roberts, who is a representative of the ministers, and by Vita Eng, who is the executive director of the CUC. And the expression conveyed the CUC's and the Unitarian Ministers of Canada their support for the path of reconciliation between Canadian Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people. Okay, go ahead. So this is a slide of Gary Groot in the center there and Meg Roberts next to him on his right. And I'm afraid I don't know the other people. I'm sorry. They did their expression, and then they offered a chalice, which was made by Wade Stephen Baker, a Kwakiutl artist. And that was part of the, you'll hear it come along at the end here. And we'll symbolically light a chalice because we don't have a second one here. So Reverend Meg Roberts, as the representative, sorry, I've already said that. Indian residential schools date back to the 1870s. I'm sure all of us have read something about them. Over 130 residential schools were located across the country, and the last school didn't close until 1996. I was just floored. During this era, more than 150,000 First Nations, Métis, and Inuit children were placed in these schools, often against their parents' wishes. Many were forbidden to speak their language and practice their own culture, and it's estimated that more than 80,000 former students are living today. The ongoing impact of residential schools has been felt throughout generations. The Indian Residential Schools Settlement Agreement in Canada is Canada's largest class action lawsuit. The settlement agreement is an important step towards healing the harm caused by the Indian residential school legacy. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada is an important part of that settlement agreement. The commission has been given the responsibility of telling Canadians what happened in the Indian residential schools, honoring the lives of former students and their families, and creating a permanent record of the Indian residential school legacy. So this is the cover of one of the reports put out, and it says, in order to educate the children properly, we must separate them from their families. Some people may say that this is hard, but if we want to civilize them, we must do that. So this is a quote from a government person in 1883. Go ahead, Wayne. Go ahead. Now, this is a very short video. If you just click in the black center, It'll load up. It's a video of Justice Murray Sinclair explaining the purpose.
Hello, everybody. I'm Murray Sinclair. I'm the chair of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the issue of reconciliation, something which, of course, is very important to us here at the Commission, but also is of interest and importance to a lot of people in Canada. One of the things that we at the Commission have discovered is that it took us a long time to get to this point in terms of the relationship between Aboriginal people in this country. Seven generations of children went through the residential schools, and each of those children who were educated were told that their lives were not as good as the lives of the non-Aboriginal people of this country. They were told that their languages, their cultures were irrelevant. They were told that their people and their ancestors were heathens and pagans and uncivilized and needed to give up that way of life to come to a different way of living. At the same time that that was going on, non-Aboriginal children in the non-Aboriginal school systems of this country were also being told the same thing about Aboriginal people. So as a result, many generations of children, including you and your parents, have been raised to think about things in a different way, in the wrong way, in a way that is negative when it comes to Aboriginal people. And we need to change that. It was the educational system that has contributed to this problem in this country. And it's the educational system, we believe, that's going to help us to get away from this. We need to look at the way that we educate children. We need to look at the way that we educate ourselves. We need to look at what it is that our textbooks say about Aboriginal people. We need to look at what it is that Aboriginal people themselves are allowed to say within the educational system about their own histories. In addition to that, we also believe that what's important when it comes to looking at the way that children are educated is to understand that because it took us so many generations to get to this point, it's going to take us at least a few generations to be able to say that we are making progress. We cannot look for quick and easy solutions because there are none. We need to be able to look at this from the perspective of where do we want to be in 3 or 4 or 5 or 7 generations from now when we talk about the relationship between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people in this country. And if we can agree on what that relationship needs to look like in the future, then what we need to think about is what can we do today that will contribute to that objective. Reconciliation will be about ensuring that everything that we do today is aimed at that high standard of restoring that balance to that relationship.
Okay. I can see the video wasn't working 100%, right? And we seem to have skipped over a couple of things here. Okay, now we're good. Okay. Now, before we read the actual expression of reconciliation, I'd like to tell you about another organization that is related to the reconciliation process. The organization is called Reconciliation Canada, and it was formed to be a catalyst for social change. The chief, Dr. Robert Joseph, there was one of the founders. They are dedicated to building new relationships among Aboriginal peoples and all Canadians, relationships built on a foundation of openness, dignity, understanding, and hope. They have guiding principles which ask that everyone involved have a demonstrated commitment to humanity, respect and seek a diversity of perspectives and experiences to build resilience, and promote an environment where people can learn and grow together through our sharing our knowledge and experiences. Reconciliation Canada is looking for involvement by Canadians all across the country, and they offer an opportunity for all Canadians to renew relationships based on a shared understanding of our histories and our cultures and walk a path together for a shared tomorrow. Born from the vision of Chief Dr. Robert Joseph Gwiwanuk Elder, Reconciliation Canada is a charitable project and is a collaboration between the Indian Residential School Survivor Society and another group called Tides Canada Initiatives. As we said, residential schools are a fact known to many Canadians. And through the work of many initiatives, and especially the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the reality of those tragedies is coming more and more into focus. Now is the time to move from this darkness into light, where all Canadians can find a way to leave the past behind and create forgiveness and cultural respect for our future. These are quotes from their website. Canadians can create a new legacy for children of all nations and cultures by joining together in a process of dialogue and truth-telling. Canadians need to hear the stories and find ways to ensure our collective future rests on a solid foundation of respect and trust and openness. For the sake of our children and future generations, we can build a stronger Canada. So last fall, Reverend Meg Roberts, who is a quarter-time minister in Courtney Comox, wrote an article about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Reconciliation Canada, and an event that took place in Vancouver, which I think a lot of you will have heard about. As many people know, the schools were created by the federal government to destroy Aboriginal cultures, languages, religion, and way of life, and to assimilate children. Many of these children suffered emotional, physical, and sexual abuse, which had a devastating effect over generations within Aboriginal communities. Through the national event organized by Reconciliation Canada in Vancouver, she learned so much about courage, humility, and resilience. Quoting Meg, "I understood that this isn't exclusively an Aboriginal issue. It is our shared Canadian history. As one Aboriginal elder said, we just want you to hear our stories so that you will know what happened. Another speaker noted not only what residential schools stole from the survivors and their communities, but how much Canada has lost because Aboriginal people were not allowed to contribute from their cultures, their spiritual traditions, and be equal partners in the economy and growth of our country." You can move ahead there, one. Okay, so last September, on the 22nd, this first walk was held in Canadian history. 70,000 people walked in the pouring rain in Vancouver. Some of you may have seen photos in the newspaper or in Facebook posts. It was very dramatic in its size and scope. Several Unitarians in the Vancouver area, including Samaya Oakley, Lindsay Hindle, and Meg Roberts, organized a team called Unitarians for Reconciliation. They had 22 official team members, and with family and friends, they numbered over 50. Their team raised $1,055 for Reconciliation Canada. And that fundraising is one of the things that individuals and groups can do to support the relationship or the reconciliation process. And another quote, and this is from Meg's article as well. "Imagine thousands of umbrellas of all colors, held by people of all colors, standing side by side, listening to the music and inspirational words of Aboriginal leaders, such as Assembly of First Nations past President Sean Atleo, and the compelling keynote speech of Reverend Dr. Bernice King, daughter of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr." You can relax. Okay, now that's good. You can sit back and relax now. So this is a quote from Reverend Dr. Bernice King. "When my father spoke those words, 'I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character,' he was not just speaking about us literally, but he was speaking about children and future generations throughout the world, including right here in Canada, British Columbia, Vancouver. He was speaking about each and every one of you." So now back to Meg's article. As mentioned above, the last of seven national events held by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission took place in Edmonton in March. These national events give me and others hope for real transformation in the relationship between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal Canadians. As Chief Dr. Robert Joseph of Reconciliation Canada says, let us find a way to belong to this time and place together. The future and the well-being of our children rests with the kind of relationship we build today. And that's the end of the quotes from Meg Roberts for the moment. The expression of reconciliation will be read by Jane and me. Each of us will indicate which reader we are representing, and it's really just reader one, reader two, and read text that was used by Gary Groot and Reverend Meg Roberts. So, Jane, if you would join me, and we'll just go back and forth here. So I'm appearing as reader one, and I'm sorry, I don't know who was who. On March 29th in Edmonton, Alberta, Reverend Meg Roberts, representative of the UU Ministers of Canada, and Gary Groot, past president now of the Canadian Unitarian Council Board of Trustees, presented an expression of reconciliation at the final event of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
On behalf of the Canadian Unitarian Council and the Unitarian Universalist Ministers of Canada, we commit today to the journey of healing and reconciliation between Canadian Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people.
We, the Canadian Unitarian Council, commit to these steps to advance that journey: to assemble educational materials for our congregations regarding the history and impact of the Indian residential school system, to create a new program for congregations about racial equality and intercultural competency, and to continue to encourage our congregations to learn more about the richness of Aboriginal spirituality and cultures, working together to advance the struggle for justice for Aboriginal people. Canadian Unitarians draw from various sources for inspiration: direct experience of the forces that uphold life, science, and world religions. We hold in common seven principles and see how these were transgressed in the Canadian Indian residential school system and by government legislation. We affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person.
This was denied when Aboriginal people were forced to relinquish their cultural identities and denied the nurturance of their families and communities.
We affirm justice, equity, and compassion in human relations.
These were violated when parents were forced to give up their children to a school system where so many children were abused emotionally, physically, and sexually.
We seek to accept one another and encourage each other's spiritual growth.
This was disallowed when Aboriginal spiritual practices were outlawed and another religious tradition imposed upon Aboriginal people.
We support a free and responsible search for truth and meaning.
Although many children received basic education, they were also used for manual labor and lived in unsanitary conditions, leading to thousands of deaths from tuberculosis and other contagious diseases.
We promote the right of conscience and the use of the democratic process within our congregations and in society at large.
The mere imposition of this school system was a clear violation of the use of any democratic process.
We affirm the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all.
How could this be achieved when government legislation revoked the basic rights of Aboriginal people to govern themselves.
We respect the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part.
This principle is integral to Aboriginal cultures. Not only did non-Aboriginals lose an opportunity to learn from Aboriginal cultures, but this understanding was all but eradicated from their children's way of life by the school system.
Our congregations across Canada are reading this expression of reconciliation in their services. We want our Aboriginal brothers and sisters to know that we will walk with them.
This chalice is a symbol of our Unitarianism. May it light our way to truth, offer its warmth toward healing, and may its fire strengthen our commitment to the process of reconciliation.
Thank you, Jane, very much. The slide that you see up here just gives a description of the Truth and Reconciliation logo, and I'm sure most of you have had a chance to look at it. I thought it was interesting that they use flames to make up a circle and that there are seven of them. Kind of cool. Now, the last slide is another video, so are we still good with sound? Okay. Oh, okay. No, I don't mind. The shape of the logo, a circle, reflects the circle of life. In the circle, we join together to share truth. The flames sustain life in the circle and provide safety and sustenance. Most importantly, the flames shed light on what needs to be shared in the circle, the experiences of those affected by Indian residential schools. The seven flames that make up the circle represent the seven sacred teachings: love, respect, courage, honesty, wisdom, humility, and truth. The Truth and Reconciliation Commission draws on each of those teachings in the work of truth gathering, truth telling, and reconciliation. So we have a short video which was taken from the Truth and Reconciliation website. This one is from the Alberta event, and there are dozens of videos on their website available for download or viewing in various formats. Some of the videos are personal stories, some are more general, and this video will conclude the presentation.
This whole week is not about us, it's about the survivors. Yes, there are issues that we continue to face, and we must continue to face those challenges, and we have to all at some point reconcile and work together, and that includes all of us.
About 140 years ago, the government of Canada embarked upon a process of taking children away from their families in Aboriginal communities and placing them into so-called educational institutions. But we know from our work at the Commission, as it will be revealed in our report, that for the first part of the existence of those schools, very little in the way of education actually occurred. The schools were actually centers of indoctrination. We know that, with the intention being to take children away not only from their families, not only from their mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, but the intent also was to take those children away from their culture, to take them away from their language, and to indoctrinate them into a different culture and a different language in order that they would be assimilated and become like everybody else in this country.
There were 25 Indian residential schools in Alberta, more than any other province or territory. Alberta is currently home to about 12,000 residential school survivors, the second largest number in the country. Indian residential schools were a tragic history that changed the lives of children and had impacts across generations.
The government persevered for 130 years, and it took that long for people to realize that it was never going to happen, because Indigenous people are resilient people. And at our commission, we know that part of the obligation that we have is to look at what happened, to gather the truth, to talk to the survivors and have the survivors put on the record their stories, so that those stories would be the foundation for a dialogue about reconciliation in the future, so that people will understand why it is that there are families that cannot function properly back in Indigenous communities, why there are so many people who do not know who they are, who cannot stand up and explain to you what it means to be Anishinaabe, or what their teachings are. They don't know their creation stories because it's never been taught to them. They don't know who their heroes are. They've never been taught about Tecumseh and all of the other leaders of this world who have stood up for our people in the past, because those stories have never been given to us.
We must remember the people that are still surviving, but also remember the people that have left before, because they're still in our heart, and we must continue to support the families, the youth, and especially the survivors.
I too personally experienced violence as a child. This real hurt made me a victim too. I believe that we can and that we must support each other to no longer be confined or defined as victims who continue to hurt ourselves and those that we love, but rather as strong survivors. Having done the hard work, we can, we must, and we are choosing to end this cycle. It starts with forgiveness within our own families. Forgiveness to not hold on to the pain and the suffering. And most importantly, to not pass this on any longer.
Sorry about the visual quality there. I have a better version, I think, available if anybody wants to see it again later. But anyway, thanks very much. I'm not sure that there really can be questions about this, but I whatever I know, I took from websites, and I certainly don't know a lot.
I noticed that, first of all, thank you. I just think it's important that we know what our denomination has done up to this point. And I feel a very heavy obligation to move forward into action with this. And I know that you mentioned a group that's not the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, but that's another group that sounds like it's headed for, you know, promoting action that will help in some way. And I hope that, you know, our congregation will follow that and add to what they're doing and find ways in this community of providing increasing, not just beginning, but increasing support over the years for Aboriginal causes. And I know that this past week our fellowship has supported the gay pride parade, in the gay pride parade, and showed our support. I'm wondering if we can get something like that going that would, you know, that would show our support, that would be ways of showing the support and living it. Anyway.
I guess it's an accepted practice for the conquering heroes to take over the local people and convert the heathens and so forth and so on. We had a speaker here some time ago, a lady whose father went to the residential school. I don't know if you remember. I don't remember her name now, but he had gone to a residential, her father had gone to the residential school. They lived in Lakeview, and she didn't have anything bad to say about the residential schools, and I wondered why she didn't. She said her father was a great success at the school, and why are we just finding out about all these horrible abuses and things that took place now? I never ever heard of them a few years ago.
I'm not sure of the answer, other than there were finally people who got together to create this class action lawsuit. I think it's Dr. Pete's father, I think you're thinking of, and there may well have been schools where there were positive experiences. It certainly wasn't end times. I mean, a lot probably depended on who was heading the school. I know people personally who had some positive experiences with their lives, but I think they were the minority.
Were you going there? Well, do you want to go first? You go ahead, then me.
Okay. I think I just wanted to say that I think when people have been horrendously abused, particularly sexually abused, emotionally abused, they don't feel powerful. And so I don't know that they had an opportunity, or given the status of most First Nations and Métis people, if they had horrendous things happening to them, they were carrying around all this pain. Perhaps a lot of it was in alcoholism and all the things that we see, and no forum for them to heal and open up. And so I think that luckily this forum is now opening things.
I think there are two experiences. the writer Richard Wagamese has been doing fiction about his childhood. If it hadn't been for hockey in his adoptive family, he would have really gone astray very badly. He did for a while. But he said that when he went home to visit his mother, he was so glad that she had had the experience in residential school to keep a clean house, to learn how to cook well, to just sort of hold the home together. So that was a very interesting insight. I'm not saying residential schools were something that I approve of. I'm also worried about getting the true stories into the curriculum across Canada, where we have no national education policy program department.
Actually, the Treaty Commission certainly has education about treaties, but I don't know about the schools.